Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by BlogTyrant. Go to blogtyrant.com/filth and get an individual brainstorming session to help you start a blog or a new career online for free. Don't just start a website, learn how to make it successful with BlogTyrant.
Video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and sitting next to me we have Ben Vanell.
Yes, hello Tommy. It's great to be here. You said good morning video games, but this is a very late record, later than the last one.
Yes, this is the plan now. We're just going to get an hour later each time until we're doing these at 4 a.m.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then we'll go back around and eventually we'll be back to the regular time that we were doing them at.
Well, I look forward to that.
Well, you know what? It's late for us, but someone who's phoning in from half an hour ago from the fair state of South Australia, we have...
Hello, my name is Adam. I am a traveller from the past. I couldn't think of what people used to sound like in the past.
Oh, you're one of the guys who didn't show up to Stephen Hawking's party.
That's me. Fuck that guy.
I've got some news to break to you, actually. You are half an hour in the past.
Yes. Has the king made his decree of who... Like doing a pirate voice, I don't know how to do someone from the past.
We're joking around here, but that was very sad today to hear that Stephen Hawking has died.
Huge
fan of the work of Stephen Hawking, and not having him in the world is going to be pretty tough.
Characters on like the Big Bang Theory, whose whole thing is that they're meant to be like the smartest people, would call him Stephen Hawking.
Mm.
I never noticed that. This is a bugbear of yours, Knox. This has
It has bothered me for 78 years,
wow,
or whatever age he was.
I guess when you jump back and forth in time, you start to lose track of how long it's been.
People went back to Stephen Hawking's party.
King's? That's not how you pronounce it at all.
Stephen Hawking's his party. They went to the party of a man named Stephen Hawking's because they all had it wrong. And that guy had a bunch of time travelers show up. They had no idea what to do. Stephen Hawking sat there alone.
He clearly had no idea what to do because he didn't report it to anyone except for you. Put the word out to the mainstream media.
Yeah,
we had a good relationship. I'm very sad he's dead. But I'll tell you something. I've been really comforted by all the fucking cartoons in the paper with wheelchair access ramps going up to the pearly gates.
Well, we're just going over our group chat from today, are we? Is that how we're starting the show?
Yeah, have we talked about this on the show, that it's an obsession of ours and a couple of our friends that anytime someone dies, it's then trying to predict what are the shitty newspaper comic strips going to have to say about it the next day?
Yes.
And you can throw as many lame darts as you want at the wall and they'll all be correct.
Yes. Yeah.
And
the easy mode of playing it is... you just think of someone they were in a movie with or whatever and has already died, and that person is at the pearly gates going
them.
Like,
yeah.
Well, nice of you to finally show up, or like a line from the movie.
Yeah, or if it's a musician, it's like Jimi Hendrix and another dead musician.
The ultimate jam band,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
A common thread is St. Peter factors into all of them quite a lot. Yeah. And I love this running idea that you die and then... This cunt is just there, ready to roast you about one thing that you did once in your life, often 60 years previous to you dying.
Yeah.
Looks like Groundhog Day is finally up, Bill Murray or whatever.
I'm sure we've talked about this before, but hey, we'll talk about it every time someone passes away.
Yes.
Adam, you're in Adelaide.
I am in Adelaide. Get me out!
Very good.
Yeah.
Adelaide is my what we call my computer. You're stuck in my computer at the moment. It's a little face on the computer screen.
I'm doing that cool thing where I put my hands up to the screen to look like I'm stuck in it. Oh.
That's
I'm
great.
Trapped in the mainframe.
I wish our listeners could see this.
It's a real treat for the senses.
I might take a photo, actually. Yeah.
So, little bit of news before we get into the main gist of what we have to talk about today. Adam, you had a couple of things to announce. Well, now this is just Adam pulling silly faces on a screen.
While I attempt to take a really shitty photo of it.
It seems like only one of us at the moment is concerned with making this actually good content.
Yes. No, it's
the one person who's listening to this.
They're very concerned.
Yeah, I had a couple of tiny little news bits. There's another bit of bigger news that happened last week that we're going to talk about. But
talked about Stephen Hawking dying.
Something that I think you guys probably don't necessarily care about, but that I'm interested in.
Your comedy?
Valve, who were the people who made Half-Life
right
and all of that.
Past that one.
Skype gave me half of whatever you said.
It's for the best.
I thought that was what had happened, yeah.
And I'm willing to let the other half disappear into the ether. When I catch up in half an hour, I'll figure it out.
Great, good call.
Valve are going to start fucking making video games again.
Yeah, this is huge. I care about this. I was a big fan of Half-Life and of the Portal games especially. They're kind of my favorites. I know like Half-Life 2 is, you know, one of your favorite games, and they're a great developer. This is great news.
Yeah, there's not a lot of because this was at some sort of conference about their new game that's coming out, which is the Dota 2 themed card game Artifact. Which I couldn't care less about.
Yes.
But they're making those VR games that have sort of been rumored about for a while, they've said they're making three VR games. But basically, it's some sort of talk about this game Artifact, Gabe Newell, who is like the head honcho there, was like, same kind of because of Nintendo's run lately, Valve is going to jump back into shipping games again.
Yeah, because Valve obviously started Steam and were just like, oh, we're taking like even 1 cent off every game sale. It's a license to print money. Why would we bother developing games? It's so much harder. But because Nintendo have managed to, recently just master hardware creation and development and software development, I think, they're just like, oh, we want to do two things as well.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Totally. And the hardware development side of it being something that Valve kind of tried and failed at with those Steam machines.
Yeah, totally.
So having their people who have made... I mean, a lot of the people who were involved in the games that I liked that they made are no longer there, it seems like.
Right.
Especially sort of the writing teams and whatever. But they have the fucking resources to be able to get good people to make good games. So
you're right, though. It's one of those things, like, is this really a cause for celebration? Because, sure, the brand is kind of the thing that, you know, matters in terms of, like, a fiscal sense. But, yeah, creatively, it's like Rare making stuff again. Like, their brand still counts for something, but none of the people that made the stuff that you love, or most of them, aren't there anymore. So
it's
just like it may as well be anyone making it. Like. Yeah.
And even those people from Rare who did go on to make Yooka-Laylee, fuck that as well. Like,
should all be hung, drawn, and quartered. Yeah, I agree.
I agree. That's still okay back at the time where I'm from.
This is a little mini throwback to the last time you were in Adelaide. This is great.
Oh, yeah, this is Gradham.
Well, I wasn't on the podcast last time I was in Adelaide.
No, I know. That's why I'm describing it to you.
It reminds us of that time.
Yeah, right. I've never gone back and listened. that could be cool. It could be nothing. It could be another one of the things that Valve sort of half does and then disappears because they are sitting on a pillow of money or laying on a pillow of money even. So,
what was Gabe Newell's involvement in the Half-Life games?
He founded Valve and was like, I believe, the sort of lead designer.
Right, right. So is he still involved in, or would he be involved creatively, do we think?
It depends if he wanted to do it. Like, he can do what he wants, and if he would get something out of that, I think he'd do it.
Right.
But it's sort of just like a passion project if he does anything, I would imagine, for him.
Yeah, you're right. He is lying down on a pile of money.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and he's buying knives. He has a massive knife collection.
What?
That's true. He has, like, I've read articles where, like, people go around and have, like, a tour of the Valve offices. And whenever they show up, he's like, do you want to see 3,000 knives? And they're like, no.
He's like, well, you better mind your manners.
Yeah. Maybe that's his, like, you know, his, like, alpha technique of, like, trying to, like, encourage people, like, you'd better not leak anything you see in here.
Yeah.
But what he's, it's like, just say you have one knife. You don't need
totally.
To, it's not, like, 3,000 times more scary.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
A knife collection is something I'll never understand as well because, like, I just imagine with the way the knife industry moves, it'd be really hard to stay on the cutting edge. The second piece of information that I would stay
in Adelaide, man. That was actually good stuff.
On Twitter,
it got funnier when I remembered it.
I agree.
The next little bit of, who knows what that'll be. There's kind of nothing to say about that other than, once again, that fucking weird company is saying, we can do whatever we want and maybe we'll do this.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I never really fully realized that, Steam was started by a games developer. Like, I always forget that.
It was fucking annoying at first, too. Like, when it was like, would have been 2004. And I think the first thing that was on it was like the updated version of Counter-Strike at the time. Mm. You had to use it when there was, so I bought Half-Life 2 on a disc and you had to install Steam and download all this stuff. And it was so fucking annoying at the time because it just wasn't the way things were done and internet here wasn't good, which has changed since then. But it's,
I think we missed half of that.
Yeah, it's such a weird story that Valve have had. I would like to do some sort of deep dive thing on them one day, I reckon.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting. Because I remember buying games as recent as like Deus Ex, I think Human Revolution was the third
2011 one, that was that one.
And not having that on Steam, like going to a shop and buying that and not using the Steam service. It didn't really like overtake PC gaming until the last 4 or 5, maybe 6 years, like it just kind of exploded.
It was crazy. The way they did sales made it massive as well, I think, was a huge part of it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Speaking of sales and things on Steam, the Tomb Raiders 1 through 3, if you own those games on Steam, the like DOS versions, the old versions that they're selling on there, a company is making remasters for those Steam versions that you will automatically get if you own those DOS versions.
Oh, wow. That happened to something else, right? Was it like Bioshock or Skyrim or something? At some point that happened for something else, but
where you like automatically get the upgraded version.
Mm, mm.
That's happened a couple of times, I feel like. I can't think of exactly what off the top of my head, but it definitely has.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first three of them being remastered, a new engine for all three of them, and you get them for free if you own those like pretty cheap versions, which is cool.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever play those games, Tommy?
The original Tomb Raiders? Mm. No. I think at most I would have watched a mate play them at their house, but they were happening kind of parallel to the stuff I was playing at the time. So
yeah
I never had a, I didn't have a PlayStation at that time.
Yeah. I remember, I don't think I owned them, but I definitely had like got them on those demo discs that you get. And maybe rented them. I never really liked them. I found them, I think, difficult and hard to play. Like they were kind of clunky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were in that weird transition between 2D and 3D where people hadn't really figured out how to control stuff yet.
Yeah. Very blocky from what I saw of it. Like very like 3D, but still kind of really only moving around in four directions, like not feeling like you didn't really have full 360-degree, like it may as well have been top-down.
Mm. Totally. The shooting was really difficult as well from what I remember. Like, it just wasn't precise or anything.
And they seem like the perfect candidates for if they can remaster them properly, especially if you're getting them for free. I think that's a really cool way of doing a remaster.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Just to encourage people to spend it. Because so many old games are on Steam, especially now, to encourage people to buy those versions by doing a remaster is cool, I think.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it is a good... Yeah.
Sorry.
It doesn't matter. I was just going to say I'm hungry. Keep going.
This also kind of doesn't matter to me personally.
Okay. God, the king of the segue.
The Division 2 has been confirmed by Ubisoft. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's all they have to say about it right now. But there's going to be a sequel to a successful game.
Yeah, it's Division is kind of the same boat as Destiny because it was like really successful despite itself.
Right.
And now everyone's like, oh, we got addicted to this weird gameplay loop and this, you know, multiplayer kind of endorphin rush, you know, leveling and stuff kind of gameplay loop.
Mm.
Let's hope the sequel fixes the issues with it.
Totally. And if it's anything like Destiny, it will not.
Yes. Obsessive gameplay loop enthusiast Ben Russell was our correspondent of stuff that none of us want to get into, let alone sink hours upon hours of time into.
Yeah.
He was big into it in the way that he's big into a lot of stuff.
Like Destiny.
Yeah.
Destiny, The Division. Anything it's where you can team up with a snarky 13-year-old from Russia online, he's bang up for it.
It's a game that always seemed interesting in some ways, but then also really bland in others. And I kind of wish I'd have given it a go, but it's probably a bit late now.
I think so, yeah. Again, if the timing is right, I'll go in on the sequel, but who knows? If the buzz is good, I guess.
Will they do? Because the first one was like New York after the plague or whatever went through it, some sort of do you reckon they do another city or it's in New York again?
Another city. Go do Fallout style and go from city to city.
Mm.
I would love to see something in fucking Melbourne.
Oh,
that
man.
Would be so cool. I'd like.
It's because you're in Adelaide now.
I'd love to see a genuine plague come through and wipe this fucking place out.
When you said I'd like to see something in Melbourne, I thought you were going to segue that into a plug for your fucking comedy festival show.
Nah. The thing that people who like live in San Francisco saying, oh, this game really is a good representation of San Francisco.
Yes.
I've always felt jealous of that.
Yeah, I agree. That would be cool. It's a shame it'll never happen because I've had that thought too. And sort of being able to see it slightly with outside eyes too, like somewhere that you've lived your whole life would be really fascinating. But yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because it's not like movie making where people will come to Melbourne for a tax break.
Yeah.
It's like, it's all virtual, so there's no point.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Problem with Melbourne as well is because the city is set out on a grid, it would be the most boring fucking game.
Well, and so is New York.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I guess you could... Yeah, okay. Yep.
And Melbourne's
lane,
just as
lane
interesting.
Lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Hook turns.
Oh, hello. John So, the former mayor.
Yes. Yeah, Jeffrey Kennett and the MCG. I actually would love to play a game. And, like, you're thinking of Watch Dogs 2, right, Nox? Like, that's the one...
Yeah, with San Fran. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was... I played it and it felt like I was in Google Maps.
Yeah.
Going through that street view of San Francisco was so accurate.
Even those like Grand Theft Auto style sort of approximations of a city.
Yeah.
It would be so cool to see one of them based on someone you knew. Like the Getaway in London is that anywhere in not London, LA, San Francisco, New York.
Mm. Yeah. Tokyo. Tokyo's gotten a few runs.
Yeah. Hong Kong, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is in this day and age, this is a weird way to announce a new game. Like just saying it's coming out and then nothing else about it. Especially a game like that. I mean, Red Dead 2, all they had to do was say, hey, it's coming.
Mm.
And that's a big enough franchise that people are like, you know, just that's enough for them.
Yeah, people have been frothing for like 8 years or whatever. Yeah,
it's kind of weird to say this without having it, without a trailer or anything.
Mm.
I think it kind of makes sense to me where there's this inbuilt group of people who will be stoked about it and will have assumed it's happening, being asking when it's happening all the time. And so then this is to sort of satiate them of like, yes. Invest yourself in the Division because there's another coming.
Yeah.
And then the other group of people who weren't into it are going to need so much more proof that they should be that it kind of needs to be like 3 months before it's out before you start talking to them.
I think for, you're right, for people who already like this game, this is more like an iteration of it. Like, this is version 2.0, where they've been following it, following the DLC, the patches, they're playing 1.9, and they're just like, okay, the next one's going to come out, and there's going to be a bit more to it.
And probably a little bit, too, of, like, reminding people that it exists, like, because those things really rely on, like, the servers and people being on them. So, like, I don't know, maybe there's been a bit of a drop-off, and it's like, hey, if we make an announcement, that'll remind people that they have this first one, and that'll kind of, you know, reignite a bit of interest in the short term.
That actually kind of has done that for me, mate. Like, it's thinking about it, it's like, oh, maybe I'll get the first one cheaper now, see if I like it.
Yeah, right.
So that's coming at some point.
Cool.
But then the big news of the week, as far as us here at Filthy HQ are concerned.
Yes.
Tommy.
Mario being put into Google Maps. That was exciting.
Yes, on March 10th.
I did that on the way to Adelaide.
Yeah, how was it?
Fucking boring.
Yeah.
It's just Mario sitting there, not even really animated, going along instead of an arrow.
I mean, it's probably because you were driving in a straight direction for 8 hours.
Yeah, but, like, it would be nice if you could, like, tap him and he throws a shell fake or something. Just give it a little bit of character.
If you had driven along a beach or through a castle, like, that would have looked sick. But no, you had to stick to the fucking highway to Adelaide.
Man, nah, Toad's Turnpike is one of the best tracks in Mario Kart.
Yeah, well, that's your fault for not driving the other way down the road.
Yes.
bit of a weird one that kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't do it, but I could see from the video, I'm like, this just looks like the most dull cosmetic change.
Yeah. Well, I weirdly talked about this on a podcast that I was a guest on that isn't out yet, friend of the show, Jeremy Webb's new podcast. And we were like kind of trying to figure out why it was just Mario. Nothing else was changed and why it was so boring.
Yeah.
And the answer is because if you put pickups and shells and stuff, then there's going to be like a million car crashes. People are just going to be swerving around trying to get power-ups and shit, and people are going to be dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
But they could have still made
a couple of sound effects in there. But maybe also I don't want Google Maps just automatically downloading a bunch of data that I didn't ask it to do.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it would have been cool if they'd at least made the grass look a bit like in that world. But yeah, whatever. Yeah.
So Google, lift your game.
Still cool that they were able to. Yeah. Like, that's kind of a, in the sense of like it being an arrangement between two big companies. Kind of cool that they were able to talk them into doing it or whatever.
Yeah.
Nintendo getting more in bed, even with their iPhone games. Nintendo getting more in bed with other companies is always a good thing to me, because them being not so isolated and weird, I think would always be a positive.
Yes. Yeah,
totally. Yeah.
The Mario movie coming out 2019.
Okay, so yeah, there was of course a Nintendo Direct that happened Friday morning. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, Friday morning our time, right after
our last episode had gone up. I watched it live, I believe. Did we all watch it live?
Yes, I listened to it live. I was at work, so I just had one earbud in, kind of trying to listening and then checking our chat to be like, hey guys, what is happening now? Because I missed the past half an hour of it.
Yeah. Right,
yeah,
right.
I watched it live as well.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, me too. So I've got everything here like in kind of chronological order of how they went through it, which is probably the best way to do it. And we can obviously stop and focus on the stuff that's worth doing that too.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, all they had said was that there was going to be more info on Mario Tennis Aces and not much else.
Yep.
And so, my expectations were pretty low. They started off with some 3DS news, which, you know, you never know how long this segment of it is going to take up. Like, you know, it starts up and I'm always a bit like, let's get through it.
Yeah.
Let's get
honestly,
down
I was so surprised there was 3DS stuff at all.
Oh, really? They had said that there was going to be, but yeah.
Well, I guess I was surprised that they said there was going to be. Just I'd kind of figured the 3DS was dead as of this year, but I was wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's go through this section and then we can talk a bit more about that. So the first thing was WarioWare Gold, which is like a best of collection of 300 mini games from the WarioWare series. which, yeah, people are into those games. Seems to suit the 3DS.
I love those games. I'm excited about this. I think that, like, that's actually... I wish it was a new one, but yeah. But they did say there'd be some new ones in there. And yeah, that it. I'm very glad that WarioWare isn't dead.
That's cool because yeah. I've never properly played one of them.
Yeah, and, neither. I've never owned one.
And, I reckon you would both love it.
Yeah. It's always I've liked that they have. All the mini games have a weird, different visual style, whereas Mario Party is like. Tries really hard to be very contextual and have everything happening in the same space, whereas these have just from one to the next, they look completely different. They're tonally completely different.
Right.
Yeah. Which I think is it's cool.
Super different to the Mario Party style of minigame as well, where each of them lasts 5 to 10 seconds. The kind of the whole point of them is it throws you in there with no context and you've got to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
So it'll just give you like one word like catch or something and there'll be an open hand and then a stick falls from the top of the screen and you've got to kind of intuit, oh shit, I should press a button when it gets to the hand.
Right. Yeah,
it's cool. Really, really fun. They've got a great sense of style to them. I think you should both play this game.
I really wish that they had done like 1-2 Switch as like this, you know, in this mold, as a WarioWare game. I think it would have been so much more interesting.
Enormously. There's such a fucking... massive amount of stuff they could do with WarioWare on the Switch with those weird controllers.
Yeah.
And it's really disappointing that they haven't.
Yeah.
Hopefully this, though, leads... This is them still thinking, like, WarioWare's in the mix. Maybe we can... Like, maybe this is indicative that something else will come out in the future.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff strikes me as just, like, reinvigorating the people on the franchise and stuff like that.
Right.
And then the next thing is Dylan's Dead Heatbreakers, which is... new game in the Dylan's Rolling Western series. I don't know anything about these games. Like, I know they exist, but I've never played one of them before. Knox, have you ever played one of those games?
I had never heard of them before this one.
Right.
I missed this bit of the presentation, so I still haven't heard of them.
I actually thought this looked pretty cool, but yeah. I'll never play it, so who cares?
You get like a little your me on your 3DS gets turned into a little animal creature, and you shoot it, half of it and drive for half of it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I thought it looked like a cool little thing, but yeah. And then Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story, a remake of the Game Boy Advance, or was it DS? No, the
I
DS.
I think DS. DS. This one, yeah. The one that came out last year was the Game Boy Advance one, I think.
Yes.
Right.
So it's a remake of that, which it's similar to the remake that they did with the last one. You know, enhanced graphics and a bit of extra stuff in it. But what's weird is it's not coming out until 2019.
That is weird.
It's a very weird thing to be hyping this remake that's not out for another year.
Yeah.
On the 3DS.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Why include this?
This is bizarre because, like Nox said, like, I genuinely thought I had seen an announcement of, like, this game, X game, is the last game to be released on the 3DS. This is the end of the 3DS. I swear that happened, like, 4 or 5 months ago. If it just, maybe we just all assumed it. Like, it's really strange.
I don't remember seeing that. I kind of remember seeing the opposite, that they've sort of been saying, like, no, we're going to keep it going.
Right.
Like, you know, whether or not that's, like, not that I necessarily believed it, but I do remember them saying it.
Right. And I guess, there's a game coming out in 2019.
Yeah.
So.
And the other weird thing is this, so that one that they released this year, that remake, is of the first one in this series. This is the third one in the series. So they've just skipped the second one altogether.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that. That really does something. That bothers some part of my brain really badly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, the normal part, like, that is a weird thing to do.
It's bizarre. It would be funny now if they then snuck in the second one sometime in 2018.
Yes.
That would make this whole thing even weirder.
Yeah.
2024 on the Game Boy Color.
It's the guy who was in charge of remastering the second one is just really late, and he's just hoping... It's like, no, announce the third one. I'll get it done. I'll get it in. It'll come out in December 2018.
I don't get it. It's so weird. It's like, because the second one is like, you go back in time and it's the, or you go forward in time. It's the baby characters of Mario and Luigi.
Right.
Are in
right.
It. So it's all kind of like mechanics of like, well, there's four of you. So I don't know. The only thing I can come up with is someone going like, there's Oh, there's the babies in there as well. It's too hard. Right. It's too hard to do. Right. Which can't
you think
be
we could release the baby one in today's climate? They'll tear us apart.
And then a remake of Luigi's Mansion from the GameCube coming out on the 3DS as well.
Which this shit is wild as well. Like, just the weirdest, most fucking random dice roll decisions that they've made here.
Mm. Yeah,
this, I think, one specifically, people were like, I want to play this on the Switch.
Same. That really, bummed me because I loved the second one on the 3DS.
Right.
But so I mean, for the sake of like continuity or whatever you want to call it, I kind of get them bringing this out on the 3DS as well. But yeah, this killed me because I'd really love to play this. And yeah, I think that's one where I just go, I don't get it. The only thing I would think is like potentially just leaving the Switch clear for Luigi's Mansion 3.
Right.
Is the only real justification I can think of, but
so then do this as 1 and 2 for the Switch.
Yeah, that would make so much sense. Because there is plenty of stuff in this list that is coming out on both the Switch and the 3DS.
Right.
So they've gotten okay with doing that. Mm. So there's kind of no reason why if this came out as like a budget pack, like a download only thing on the Switch,
eShop.
So kind of weird to see them sort of still hedging their not even hedging their bets. I don't know what you'd call it.
Just like
still
sticking to their guns in a weird way
with the 3DS. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess it is so weird because it. I know that it's a popular console, the 3DS, and like tons of people have them, but it's especially weird now when the Switch is also kind of technically a handheld as well.
Yes.
That it's essentially competing with itself, like, weird way. Like,
I guess they've gone, look, we've got a dedicated fan base of people who love the 3DS.
Mm.
Let's treat them right. Like, we don't want to piss anyone off. The least piss-offable thing we can do is continue to, like, do this release cycle.
Yeah.
And the Switch people will just have to hang tight.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I don't know. Like, a lot of people have 3DSs, but I bet a lot of people have 3DSs at the back of cupboards.
Yeah, yes. Totally. Totally.
Yes. I bet it doesn't translate into sales for them for this, so yeah.
Oh, I'm just trying to figure it out. I don't agree with it. I don't understand it. Like,
I will say that at the very least, like, I would rather them be doing, like, this kind of stuff than be bringing out brand new stuff on the 3DS. Like, at least it's just best of compilations and remakes and whatever else. Mm. Like, if they were like, Luigi's Mansion 3 is coming out on the 3DS, that would be such a bummer.
Yeah, that would be
so
fun.
So, like, yeah, that's – but even that, it is – yeah, it is really strange.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do we have any more 3DS games to cover?
No.
Before we move on, a couple of the next ones
are coming out on the 3DS, but no, technically no.
Oh, okay. Well, before we move on to the Switchy stuff, let's check in with our sponsor for this week. We're sponsored again, as we have been previously, by Blog Tyrant, good friend of the show. Go to blogtyrant.com/filth to get a free individual brainstorming session to help you start a blog or a new career online. Don't just start a website, learn how to make it successful. Blog Tyrant, it's a website that basically has a bunch of guides and like step-by-step things and videos and discounts and stuff like that.
If Nintendo had one of these one-on-one brainstorming sessions with Blog Tyrant, they might have said, all right, you see that 3DS tab at the top of your website? Delete that.
Yes. Well, who knows? Maybe Blog Tyrant is one of those guys that owns a 2DS and hasn't got around to a Switch yet. So maybe there'd be even more stuff coming out for it.
Well, I think he would probably have sorted their online services for the Switch.
At the very least,
yeah.
He'd have gone, people want the virtual console, so just do it.
Yeah.
You'll make money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Big Shiggy, if you're listening, hit up Blog Tyrant.
Yeah. /filth.
Stop being a virtual console tyrant and hit up this guy.
Yeah. So with more and more people looking to the internet pursue a hobby, support an existing career, or start a little something on the side, Blog Tyrant is an invaluable resource. With step-by-step guides on creating websites and making sure you get plenty of visitors, Blog Tyrant has been helping people build successful blogs and websites for almost a decade. That's nearly 10 years. So head to blogtyrant.com.
Citation needed, as far as I'm concerned.
We'll get our eggheads to do the math and get back to us.
Get the number crunches down in the lab.
Yes. So head to blogtyrant.com/filth to get your free email feedback on your idea for a blog. Thank you, Blog Tyrant. You're very supportive of our show. And if you like our show, support Blog Tyrant. Go to blogtyrant.com/filth. Now let's get back into some Switch news.
Okay, so they put the 3DS section to bed, and that all happened pretty quickly. So now you're like, all right, now we're into the good shit.
Yes, I think this is actually when I tuned in. So yeah,
right, okay. Yeah. So the first thing they announced, Okami HD is coming to Switch in summer of 2018. Okami came out on the Wii.
On the
PS2, right. And then it was ported to the Wii. And then there was an HD version that came out at end of last year. Not super long ago, I don't think.
Yeah,
might have even been started this year. It's pretty...
end of last year sounds to me.
Not super long ago. Mm. It's got a bunch of touchscreen stuff in handheld mode, and you can use Joy-Con to use the brush, use a paintbrush in the game.
Right.
This is something I'm very much looking forward to. I played like maybe an hour or two of it originally on the Wii. A friend lent it to me, and then I moved house, and it was like after the Wii had kind of ceased business.
Right.
So I moved house, I packed up the Wii, and then I never unpacked it again. So I really only played the very, very beginning of it. And I really like it. This game has a really strong legacy. People still talk very fondly about it. I held off getting the HD version because it seemed like the sort of thing that probably would come to Switch.
Right.
I'm excited about this. What do you guys think?
I don't know anything about it except a little bit about the visual style. What kind of game is it? Like, what do you do?
So like you're
Zelda.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So right. you're a wolf, and you have a little paintbrush that you can use to.
It's nothing like Zelda. Zelda's a small man in a green suit.
Except in The Legend of Zelda: The Twilight Princess, where he is actually a wolf. So.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's got a really great style. It's a Capcom game.
Right.
Yeah. Is it? It's the Bayonetta guy, right?
Could be.
It's that dude?
It could very well be.
It might be. I don't have any idea.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Hideki Kamiya.
Okay.
That's him. That him.
That him?
That him. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I like Bayonetta 2, so... great.
Very cool kind of like old kind of Japanese painting kind of style in the visuals.
Why didn't you lead with that, Tommy? Now you know I'm in. You know I'm into that Japanese shit.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great. I'll definitely give it a play.
Yeah, a game that people talk really fondly about. So, Adam, you've never played it?
I remember playing like an hour of it. I must have rented it or something back on the PS2. Right. And not really being able to get into it immediately. I just immediately didn't like using the brush with the stick.
Yeah,
so this version, if it has those motion controls like the Wii, might be more up my alley.
Right. Mm. Cool. The Dark Souls has a date of May 25.
Mm.
There's an upcoming network test and an amiibo figure.
Yeah.
From Dark Souls, even though I know nothing about who the characters in Dark Souls are, I think the amiibo looks really cool.
Yeah, yeah. And this was just before, or maybe the night before, we were talking about what's going to be in this direct, and you called amiibo.
Yeah.
You called it, and there's a Dark Souls one.
Well, yeah, I actually thought they were going to really overload us with amiibo. Mm. Like, I thought every upcoming game, they were going to announce, like, 8 amiibo to go
That's
along
right.
with it.
Yeah, the tennis ones that have all the outfits and stuff, yeah. Which we were hoping for us like
Cranky Kong
cool.
amiibo yes, like yeah yes. just fuck us up with amiibo
yeah
and I bet those will happen, but they're just sort of laying low on it with this direct probably.
Yeah,
yeah. And I guess
that guy the guy who's this amiibo is like, it's really weird with Dark Souls because he's not a massive part of the game, but the sort of fan base around the game made him into almost this like joke character. And the praise the sun, like, gesture is something that people would do to each other. Like, it's a really weird thing that's kind of come out of the way people were about the game after it came out, rather than anything about the game itself.
Right. I think this is the kind of thing where you're like, okay, Dark Souls is being released, you know, a million years after it was initially released on the Switch. What are we going to do to get someone to buy it again?
Yeah.
Oh, let's make an amiibo so they have another incentive. Well, it's really smart.
It is coming out on, it's being re-released on everything, but I do think that's a cool, I like that, that he's a wee little meme character that they've made a toy out of.
Mm. And it's super cool, yeah.
And it allows you to do that move as much as you want in the game, I think.
Having to go into the menu and do it, basically, you can tap it, which is so silly, but like.
It's easier to get a toy and touch it onto the controller.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's all cool stuff. Mm. So that network test, is this I don't get it. This isn't an online game.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
It is.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We have spoken about this. Nox, you were telling us about how you left all the clues and the messages around for each other because they shut that down, right? They shut that down for
Demon Souls.
Which is the previous one?
Yeah, they were going to shut it down and delayed it for a bit because people were like, come on.
Yeah.
But, it's like always online. You get those things. Other players can like invade your game and come and attack you, but you can play it offline as well.
Right.
So the network test is basically a demo.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Next game, Sushi Striker, The Way of Sushido.
This looks great.
Yeah, this does look cool. This is like a puzzle game, action kind of puzzle game. And it's one of the few that's coming out on Switch and 3DS. Yep. I think it was originally announced maybe at E3 for the 3DS.
Right.
And so the fact that it's coming out on Switch, this was a new announcement for this Direct. But yeah, it looks like good fun.
Mm.
Not heaps to say about it, but different weird little story where it's the future and sushi has been outlawed.
Yes.
And
totally. What is it? Flashdance? No, what's the other one?
Footloose.
It's Sushi Footloose.
Yeah.
And you match different colors of sushi and then throw them at your enemy and to damage them. It looks fun.
Yeah, it looks like it's got a cool style and a cool kind of like little anime story to go along with it.
I'm into it.
Okay, Octopath Traveler, which the new announcement for that is a date of July 13.
Mm-hmm.
They also introduced two more characters who are coming in, a merchant character and an apothecary.
Yes.
Is that how you say it?
It certainly is.
Whew. As well as a special edition with a map, a pop-up book, a CD, and a replica coin.
That diorama thing that comes with that collector's edition, I'm never going to buy that, but it looks really cool.
It does look really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I realized when this got announced, I actually never got around to playing that demo. Seems like it's been on the Switch eStore for about a year and a half now, longer than the system's been out. I know you played it, Ben.
I did.
Did you ever play it, Adam?
Nah. And honestly, I think this game looks kind of boring.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a weird one because playing it last night, what I found was I really do like the visual style of it.
Yes, me too.
But because I've played so much pixel art stuff recently and it's all been indies, kind of mentally in my head, I keep coming back to like, oh, I guess, yeah, this looks cool. This is like kind of charming and cute and a bit of fun. And then I remember, oh no, this is like an actual big studio game.
Yes.
This is like a big budget studio game that's full price.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this look really cuts the mustard given all that.
I don't know if the look is like, it's the gameplay. The gimmick is like each character has a thing. They have a special thing. It changes the way you interact with the world, like in a big way, the way that you play the game essentially. And the fighter character that you play in the demo, the thing is you challenge people to duels and that either like gets you to settle arguments or end conversations or progress the story.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's natural. That's great. Then the female character's one is like lust and you like lead guys around like a little weird, you know, pervy thing.
Right.
Hell yeah, brother.
And it's just like it doesn't feel natural. It doesn't feel fun. And if the other characters' things are also just like weird gimmicks, it's like, I'd rather just play this visual style and like a classic JRPG.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and just, that's kind of what they leaned into with this video of it. And it's been in like some of the older Final Fantasy games, I feel like, where every character has a job. And it's always just seemed like a fucking hassle of like making a spreadsheet for getting people to do their shifts or whatever. Like, it just... And you can combine them to be like, it's a dancer and an apothecary, whatever that is. And
a medicine guy.
That sort of, I don't know, just that sort of shuffling of roles of the people who are in your party or whatever just never appealed to me, and it looks like that is the focus of this.
Yeah. I'd from what I've played of the Final Fantasy games, it's more of like just like, oh, you're a healer. You're a, you know, like it's combat-focused roles, whereas this is like... story-based or just world exploration roles. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be cool. Maybe it's like the fucking Lost Vikings.
Yeah.
Right.
And so when you pick a character at the start, you're then... That's how you play the game? You're locked into that character?
I think you switch between characters.
I couldn't really gather that.
I hope you would as well, because that thing of like, play through the game 8 times to see all of it is just not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think this is something I'll be jumping on unless it comes out and gets great raves. And it just looks a bit, I don't know, a bit drab and a little bit.
It is all shades of brown.
It didn't have a lot of charm and a lot of the kind of personality that I personally enjoy.
I thought the writing or the characterization for that fighter character was all right. Like I was like, okay, cool, yeah, I this could be the protagonist. But then it is more the extraneous stuff where I'm like, I don't know if this adds to it or detracts.
Yeah.
I
will say that it's cool that an RPG is coming out on like that. You know, and another new RPG. Like, if you're an RPG fan, I think the Switch is sort of slowly turning into having a pretty good library.
Yeah.
It's Square, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
So that's good. The fact that they're back doing stuff with Nintendo in this way is ultimately a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, the next game, and I reckon it's going to be a unanimous opinion here. Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes.
No more of this, please.
This looks like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I think I said it
in our chat or maybe in our Facebook group. It just looks like an iPad dual virtual thumbstick game that should be $4.
It looks just shitty.
Yeah.
I kind of couldn't figure out what it was either. Like, it did look like it was, here's these 7 different kind of shitty arcade games.
Yes.
Yeah. But there's something linking them
I think.
I think that's what it is, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, it wasn't immediately appealing.
Yeah.
But it's a sequel to No More Heroes, and No More Heroes is apparently good or okay, I think.
I played the first one of them and didn't like it.
But it's not like this, right? So they've changed the style completely to turn it into this weird fucking 7 half-good versions of a different game.
Just mini-games, yeah.
Sort of. The original one was like kind of a beat-em-up and you'd go and fight. It's basically Scott Pilgrim. You'd go and fight a bunch of different bosses who were different sort of video game trope type things.
Right.
So it's not too dissimilar, but it definitely is. It feels like a side thing.
It just looked like at the start of it, I was like, oh, this looks cool. Yeah, I remember hearing about this the original one of these. Mm. And then it just very quickly, like all the bits they were cutting to, it was like, this just looks cheap and bad.
Yeah.
The visual design of it, at the very least, was not good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a shame. That looks shitty.
Yep.
Next game, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. This is a port over from the Switch. Sorry, from the Wii U. Mm-hmm. Adding a couple of Mario Odyssey themed levels. And this is also coming out on the 3DS at the same time. You played this game, Adam, originally.
I fucking loved it too. I thought it was really good.
It's great.
And I'm kind of like, this is the first of these sort of porty remastery things that's really made me go, oh, I feel a little stooged here.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you want to play those new levels, but there's not going to be a shitload of them, yeah.
And the original one was pretty light on stuff. Yeah. And if they had, the perfect situation would be to have a $15 downloadable version with just the new stuff.
Yes.
Come out on like the eStore. That would be sick. I don't think that'll happen, but...
Like, even with this game originally on the Wii U, I kind of felt like, oh, this should be, this would be great if this was just a digital only title.
Right.
And totally. As such, priced a little bit less. Like, I reckon they would have won themselves. And like, I bought it and found like, oh, it actually had more in it than I was expecting, because it was a spin-off of these little level segments that were in Super Mario 3D World.
Right.
These little bonus levels. I think there were like 8 of them across the whole game. And they were popular, so they turned it into this.
If someone had it, you play Toad, you can't jump. You got to walk around these little puzzle maps and get to a certain number of stars in them, but there are obstacles in your way. It's really simple, but like, builds on itself in the way that like really good puzzle games do, where it adds in
yeah.
new elements at the right speed. Everything's just challenging enough. I really like the original.
Yeah, so, I would describe it as being like if Nintendo made Monument Valley.
Right. Totally. Yeah.
Spinning. You're moving the camera around. You're kind of constantly having to like find little little switches and levers to be able to like make it so that you can get to. You know, different areas and stuff
right.
like that. But it also mixes up, like you were saying, Adam.
Yeah, it sounds like this is for me, like as in this release for the Switch, because it sounds like a game I'd really like, but it also sounds like if it's more than, you know, X, maybe like more than $50, I'm not going to buy it because it doesn't sound substantial enough, even with a bunch of new content.
From memory, I do think it was in I could be wrong, but the Wii U version in shops was a little bit less than your average Wii U game.
Right.
It was? Okay, right.
Yeah.
I think it literally was that. I think it was like $50 where
right.
your standard game was 70.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was something like that. So it was
okay.
It was a little bit cheaper.
All right.
And but the game is great. If you haven't played it before, like, right. I think it's great. But just this little bit of added stuff is the first one of these Nintendo updated Switch versions where I've been kind of irked by it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. I can understand that. But also, yeah, great that it's – but, like, no one fucking played this game, and it really is – super fun. Undertale is coming to Switch at an unconfirmed date.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Really working around the clock to port this 8-bit game one person made onto a console.
That should have been a end of the show, it's out now kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be that it's that one person making this, though, so he's just taking a while to do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
because that was
so.
The case with Stardew Valley as well.
Right.
Because he did the PS4 port himself, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
I'm always fascinated by that, by people who make a fucking video game on their own.
Oh, God. Yeah. Insane.
Yeah.
I did not
like Undertale.
Yeah, never played it.
I found it really tedious, and when I found out what the gimmick or the twist or the hook is, it made me like it less and regret buying it. Like, it's a real divisive, like, either this is a really clever thing to you, or you've like watched a lot of movies and seen a lot of twists.
Right.
And you know.
People seem to love it.
Yeah, and I do understand why. It also has an interesting sense of humor to it, and it's like a classic RPG that allows you to not ever fight an opponent. So there's stuff going on with it. I just couldn't get into it, but it's a really good release for the Switch, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, next. This would have been a surprise had it not been leaked by a fucking, I don't know, a copyright catalog or, you know, one of the dozens of weird ways that stuff gets leaked these days.
Yes.
Crash Bandicoot, the Insane Trilogy.
Right.
Is coming to Switch on July 10.
Right, so I didn't know that it was leaked before I saw this, so I actually was surprised.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
same.
Yeah. It's been floated around again in that weird way where it just, you know, it shows up on a catalog for, I don't know, Brazilian Big W or whatever.
Yeah,
right. Like, you know, someone sort of half let slip in an interview that's translated from another language. So not like it was close to confirmed, but it had been sort of circling around for a while.
Right.
And to be honest, it kind of seemed a bit too crazy to be true. So I didn't, I kind of was like, I doubt that's happening.
I treat every one of these rumors like that. Like the catalog ones, the box, you know, there's the box art or the box size has been given to retailers. I'm like, this is a lie. This is always a lie. This is someone who wants upvotes on Reddit. I just treat it all like that.
Yeah, especially something like this where it's like, you know, a million people would have been going like, how cool would it be if this happened? Like, I can see that. that happening, which is then very easy to turn into, you know, some form of fact. But yes, it is happening. Yeah, I enjoyed it playing it on the PS4. And at the time, I was like, I'd wish this was on the Switch.
Yep.
And yeah, I'm very happy that this is coming out on on that, because it's a great package.
It's perfect for that platform. It's a game that, yeah, I would have kept picking up if I literally could keep picking it up. Like,
Yeah. I never went in on the PS4 one, so it's my time to shine, baby.
Yeah.
Then Little Nightmares, the complete edition, is coming out. May 18, I played a good chunk of this. I talked about it on the show a few months back on the PS4, and it's great. I really, really enjoyed it. It's very similar kind of tonally and gameplay-wise to something like Inside.
Yeah.
But yeah, great, weird kind of... weird kind of it's weird to reference this person, but Tim Burton kind of style.
Mm-hmm.
Weird to reference him because I don't enjoy his style at all. But it's that kind of like Nightmare Before Christmas-y kind of kooky style. Like
a little claymation-ish
looking. Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Really like kind of grotesque yet funny character design and just you're this little orphan character kind of having to run through these levels. And it's great. Cool to see it come to the Switch.
What does complete edition entail?
A bunch of DLC has come out for it since it launched.
Right.
So it's just all of that.
Yeah,
and
cool.
And funnily enough, because your character is wearing like a yellow hood, like a hooded raincoat for the whole game, you can unlock a special Pac-Man mask with the Pac-Man amiibo.
Oh, very nice.
Which
great integration
is to, of all the things to just have like one amiibo that can like an obscure one that's not even a Nintendo character is bizarre.
That's cool. I did not go in on this game. Just had weirdly at that time I had a lot to play. But yeah, this is great. This is perfect. I'm really excited for this.
Yeah, I didn't think this would be coming out, but yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
And another one that I hope a lot more people get the chance to play, because I don't really know anyone else who's played it.
Right.
Apart from the person who recommended it to me.
Mm.
And even that's debatable. Okay. South Park the Fractured Butthole. As the...
That was
as the
so
voiceover
funny.
It went to great pains to not run those words together.
It was, and he did it perfectly.
He
really
it did.
Amazingly. He went,
I tried
South
to do
Park
it just.
The, hold on, here we go. Let me have a crack.
Yeah.
A crack. Do you get it?
Oh, well, you've already failed.
South Park, the Fractured Butthole. And it,
that sounded like butthole.
Yeah, I tried to do it just then before. I can't do it as well as that guy did it.
South Park, the Fractured Butthole.
That's the closest one.
Yeah. But the thing
still.
This guy didn't leave a gap. The guy narrating the Nintendo Direct, there was no gap. It was just all an inflection, made it sound like it was not the word butthole.
The Fractured Butthole.
That's
is that
all right.
Getting close?
That was pretty good.
I reckon in his head he was telling himself to get very close to pronouncing the W in hole. I reckon that's...
Right.
I love the idea that he went to like some kind of like linguistics, like some kind of like dialect coach for 6 months. This thing was ready to release in January, but he just was like, no, I cannot fuck this up.
Yes.
Like, I need to get this clear.
That'd be so good if you spent all that time. South Park, the Fractured Butthole. South Park, the Fractured Butthole. Then the day comes. South Park, the Fractured Butthole. Does it perfectly and then goes, fucking yes!
The Fractured Anus. Ah, god damn it.
The Stick of Truth.
I heard good things about this game. Didn't play it at the time. And looking forward to, I'll get this.
I'm not interested.
I played about 2 hours, maybe a tiny bit more of it, and was like, yep, cool, and never went back.
Right. I mean, just that style of game coming into a Nintendo console is, in my eyes, cause for great jubilation.
Yes. yes.
So, yeah, I think that the fact that that's happening is cool.
Did they mention, I don't think it is, the first one isn't coming to the Switch as well, is it?
If it is, they haven't said.
Right.
So I doubt it. I doubt they're bothering. Hyrule Warriors got a release date of May 18. Not really anything to say about that.
I think worth saying, like, none of us played the original, right?
No.
Correct.
Like, I think this strikes me as another one where if you had of, this would bother you with the, some new content stuff that's in there as well.
Is there right. some new content or is it just...
There's new stuff and there's some stuff from, like, the 3DS version as well that's putting to...
Okay. Yeah, so this is a bunch of, like, consolidated from, like, DLC and 3DS and everything. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, totally fair. Mm. Okay, Mario Tennis Aces.
Yeah, this is the star. This is the star of this direct.
Now, I thought when they said they were going to give, you know, more info on it, I thought what that meant was we would find out probably a bit about the story mode, how that kind of functions, the kind of stuff you can unlock. What I didn't expect out of this more information was for them to give an in-depth discussion of the rules of the game of tennis, which has been around for like centuries at this point. So, yeah, so they spend most of it talking about all the different shots that you can do in the game.
Yes.
So along with all the standard stuff, the new stuff in this is a mode where – or a shot where you can...
Is it called the zone
shot? The zone shot, yeah, where you can basically stop time within a time limit and aim at a point of the court using motion controls. It goes into like a first-person view. And then on the other side of that, you if you're defending against a shot like that, you can use zone speed, which slows down the ball and you move at normal speed.
Yeah.
And you have an energy gauge which gets depleted by using those, so you can't just use them again and again and again. This is cause for concern.
Yes.
It looks like another one of those kind of bland Mario sports games that everyone got sick of. So they stopped making them and now they're doing another one for some reason. Like, I hope there's some fun stuff in there. And, like, the tennis looks fine. Tennis is fun.
Look, if it was just a bland Mario sports game that had fun tennis mechanics, I'd be absolutely into it. And that's what I'm hoping it still is.
Yeah.
It's these additions, this zone thing. It's like, well, that changes it. Like, it, you can make a really fun tennis game without adding a gimmick to it.
Yeah.
And like the damage stuff.
You break rackets and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. The times that they've done this in the past with these games, it's been universally hated when they try and switch up the formula too much. So... Yeah,
They did mention at the end of it, like, Ben, you can turn all that stuff off if you want.
You can play simple rules, yeah. Right. And another thing that they've put in it, which I think is something I was hoping they would do, and I think is very smart, is there's a motion control mode,
right?
Which is basically Wii Sports Tennis, but with Mario characters.
Yeah,
That's a golden move.
That just about makes up for the zone shot stuff for me, because that's like I've said a lot of times on this podcast. I love Mario, Wii Tennis, I should say. I loved Wii Sports, and I also loved the Mario Tennis GameCube.
Yeah, one. Yeah.
Like if this has the best of those games, this would be great.
I think that's really cool. Like, I'm looking forward to, like, my mum is really into tennis, but not, you know, any, like, thing of, like, actual controls and buttons and combos and all that shit would just not be for her. But being able to take it around is just, like, no movement, no nothing. You literally just swing your arms.
Yeah.
And for the sake of a party game, people who don't own the game, I think is going to be – I think that'll be I really think they should be leaning into that more rather than it just being a passing aside in a direct, because
totally. I wonder if it's people going like, oh, this sucks in arms, where they've misunderstood why people didn't like that.
Right.
They've got it the wrong way around. They should have, it should have been kind of a side thing with arms, and it should almost be not the main thing, but definitely a big selling point of this.
Like, at the second half of it or whatever, like just equal parts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two versions of that game. I want to see the story. I want to see there be a story mode in it, but...
I don't know why they're not... Yeah, they didn't really say anything about the story mode, which
is... There could not be one.
There is one.
There is one. Yeah, they definitely before this...
Could not be one.
No, when they announced it in that mini, they showed more of it than they did here. There's like an overworld map and all that kind of stuff, which made it look like those Game Boy Color, Golf, Mario Tennis games.
We spoke about it. Because I'd never played those that era of them, and yeah, combining that story mode with my favorite Mario sports games of the Wii era, was like, oh, this is great. So yeah, they just didn't speak about it this time around.
Okay.
Yeah. And that that's the thing I really wanted to see, like how deep is that? Because in the Game Boy ones, it's like an RPG. It's like you level up your character. There's like all this kind of stuff that you unlock over the course of it. And also there's going to be a demo, like a timed online demo thing that they're going to do sometime between now and when it comes out.
Yeah,
which I do like that they're doing that a lot more. Like doing demos of their games is something that they've not done for the longest time, and I think that's cool.
Totally agree. I don't like these ones I understand when it's online, where it's one specific weekend, because that just so often doesn't line up with availability.
Totally. Yeah. I agree completely.
Yeah. I agree. It's good that they have lots of demos available, because it means there are things to play on the Switch.
Hey!
You bloody hit my zone, mate.
You broke my racket.
The terminology.
G-Spot.
Splatoon 2.
15 love. I'm polyamorous. I love 15 people.
Splatoon 2 version 3, an update coming out in late April, and then a paid single-player DLC in the summer.
That really surprised me, the single-player portion of that.
Yeah. I think it's great that they're still adding stuff and supporting this game into a year after it being out.
Totally. The most ridiculous fucking video to intro it as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. So they did. They talked about the update, the version 3 update, and then they just played a trailer for the single player expansion.
This trailer was like a weird, like, Chemical Brothers music video looking fucking thing.
Yeah.
It was really ambiguous as to what it actually was. Then they just played the same trailer again, but with a voiceover over the top going, "Here's what's going on here, by the way."
Yeah.
It's such a weird waste of time.
Yeah.
That guy, they did one of their, tried to do one of their quirky little sketches, which haven't been the same since we lost Iwata, really.
Yeah.
That dude in his lab coat looking uncomfortable. And also, the guy who was, I don't remember who it was, but the guy who was doing the main presentation of this entire Direct, when he kept clicking, which is the whole thing with the Switch, they keep clicking between scenes. He can't click.
That was great.
Very good.
So you're saying the sketches haven't been the same since Iwata died. So do you think he was just in there doing punch-up? Do you reckon that's what the bulk of his position?
No, he was the Lord Michaels. He just got the right people together in the right scenario. Right.
I think he did punch up too, because he came in and did that for Pokemon. Remember, he like fit that whole other half of it in there, and he did it for Earthbound or something.
Yeah,
like
that's
that was his. He came in and he fixed up other people's ideas.
Yeah,
right.
Like Lorne Michaels, I think.
What was, by the way, a few people tweeted us at this week. I guess there was like an interview with one of the developers of GoldenEye who told some story about Shigeru Miyamoto sending him a fax saying that he hated the idea of GoldenEye because he didn't like that there were guns, and could the characters not just shake hands at the end of the game?
I'm pretty sure that was fake.
Yeah.
Really?
Go around and wake up the corpses. They were just sleeping or something like that. Yeah.
Anytime you see a screenshot of a news article and then don't look up the article, it's a fake article.
Okay, so
I learned this from my favorite channel, Fox News.
Yes, you're advocating the concept of fake news. Very good.
And so then they did a bit of their classic trickery. Well, that's all for now. Oh, wait. We forgot one thing.
Yeah. Oh, wait. We organized this so poorly.
Fucked it again. Then we got a trailer for Super Smash Brothers on the Switch.
Yes. Now, like, just before this, like, us and a few of our listeners on the group, as we were all watching this along together, were like, oh, this was a bad direct. And then and nothing will change my mind. And then, like, bang, this genuinely exciting thing happened, so well delivered and executed.
Yeah, so it was a pre-rendered thing of the Splatoon, like, yeah, kind of a clever way of doing it, running in from all this Splatoon news.
Yeah,
and
which
Splatoon
I was
stuff
like,
did go for quite a while.
Yes, and I didn't give a fuck about. So yeah. it really got me.
So the Splatoon kids kind of running around shooting at each other, and then they stop and they looking at something in the distance, and it's the Smash logo, and then a bunch of the characters there in silhouette. So yeah, I immediately knew that this wasn't Splatoon related because of the way that they'd set it up.
Right.
Like, I was like, this isn't anything to do with the game Splatoon,
right?
Because they've done it as a big thing. At I thought it's either Smash or maybe like a new Mario Kart, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just the tone of it pretty quickly, I was like, oh, the way this is being sizzled and everything, this has to be Smash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's coming out in 2018.
Mm.
Weirdly
Did they say
enough,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That was the last thing of the whole Direct, right?
Right, right, right. I guess probably when their online service launches.
Yeah.
That's the speculation. It makes sense.
Right.
And the fact, and so it getting to the end and it being Smash Brothers was like, oh, wow, huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then 2018 is almost as big of a bombshell.
Yeah, and that's the thing that kind of like sent us reeling, because then it's like, wait, surely it must be a port. Maybe it's a port. It's so soon. If it's a new one, then this is crazy, like, yeah.
It's weird because they haven't said that it's a port, but they also, all that they've said is Super Smash Brothers. Like, they haven't, it doesn't have a subtitle or a number or anything like that.
Well, so the silhouettes, I didn't go back and check if, like, Mario was wearing Cappy or whatever, but the Link that was in silhouette is the one from Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. Mm.
So, I mean, either they're just new, he's a new version
costume
of that character.
Well, the other thing is that...
it's definitely new, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing that some people picked up on is that Bandai Namco made the Wii U Switch. And if you look in on the credits, the copyright thing that comes up in the bottom corner when it's all happening, they're not listed as a copyright holder, which speaks to perhaps as being a new one.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's so hard to know, because if it is a brand new one, why not? Like, they must know people are going to speculate, so why not say? Why not give it a subtitle? Why not?
Yeah.
Maybe it's still not properly titled.
Maybe they want to leave something like that people tune in for at E3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that sort of stuff. Like, that's a big, that's probably the biggest game that they could have announced at the moment that isn't sort of a known quantity.
Yeah,
so it's strange, like, though, because
I was just gonna say, like, I think it'll be a new one.
I think it has to be
insane if it's not. Yeah,
it's bizarre though, because you go on their website and they say the Super Smash Brothers franchise is coming to Nintendo Switch.
Right.
Like, it's just all this really deliberate language where why not go, an all-new Smash Brothers game is coming to Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
It's so hard to tell. Like, I agree. Like, I think it would be weird to sort of hype it in this way. My feeling is maybe it's some kind of, like, I don't know.
Like a collection or something?
Like a collection, or it's the bones of the Wii U version. So it's the same engine, but just with a fuckload more stuff. Like, the Wii U version didn't really have a single player mode in it. It didn't have any kind of like challenge mode.
Right.
There's, you know, if they put the Splatoon characters in, if they put Xenoblade characters in, if they put ARMS characters in, they've all of a sudden got a whole range of, like, Odyssey themed stuff, Breath of the Wild themed stuff.
That's the very fighting gamey thing to do, is to not really have proper numbered sequels or whatever, but go like, this is effectively a new game.
And I've got to say, if that's the case, I don't know if I mind too much, because the basics of that game haven't really, for me personally, and I know that, like, people who are super 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 into it would notice changes, but the core of how the game plays hasn't really changed for me over the last three. So as long as there's just a bunch of new characters and new levels and some you know, different stuff to do in there, I don't really mind if the core, you know, the structure of the game and the mechanics of it and everything stays the same.
Yeah.
Because I don't really see what more there is to do with it.
Yeah. What's the big esports one? Is it Melee?
Melee, yeah.
Yeah. I had Brawl and, yeah, like, honestly, I'd like it to be like Brawl. Brawl was fantastic. I loved it.
But I think I agree with that. It's just about the amount of new stuff that's in there. If it's like, plus it's got four new characters and a new stage, then fuck off. But
And I know that the competitive scene hates Brawl because it was such a change to how characters were weighted from Melee. So I don't know. Yeah, if it's going to be launching with the online, I can definitely see maybe it's like, you know, if it's like a collection or if it's like an amalgamation of these few different ones going, like, we've brought back all this stuff from Melee that's been gone for a while because the competitive scene likes it so much, and now it's online, which Melee wasn't. So maybe it's something to do with that, perhaps. But
It should just be a new game. Just do a new game, Nintendo. Just, like, that's the smartest thing.
It's great that even when they do what should be a hole in one, they still find a way to make people give people legitimate concern to go, have they fucked it?
Yeah. In a way that just doesn't make sense. Like, just say
just
one or the other.
Down the line.
Why?
You know what I bet it is? I bet they're tying this. They are tying this to that online launch.
Yeah.
And so when they talk about this, they want to be able to talk about both at once. But the online stuff isn't ready yet, or for some fucking reason, someone's clearly like kicked over a bucket there and it's short-circuited a computer and they've gone, oh no, 3 years of work is lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so. Otherwise, they're just morons.
It could also be, they're working on it and don't really know and you know, like looking at this direct and going, oh, this is a bit light on. Let's, let's chuck it.
Yeah, I mean, like, compared to the last sort of major direct they did where they announced, like, Pokemon and Metroid and stuff, this was, like, a big reveal, you know? Like, the Pokemon one was literally a dude sat at a desk going, like, yeah, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Metroid one was just a logo.
Yes.
I mean, this isn't much more, but there's still enough in there to kind of like go, oh, well, okay, the Splatoon characters are in there. That's, you know, that's something.
But then, like, look, imagine E3, they're doing it, their big direct, and they end it with Super Smash Bros. And then a brand new title, and then they roll out a bunch of new information. Like, the hype around that because of this will be just insane. So
totally,
which I think that has to be their move. Building too. I thought all in all, I mean, you were saying, Ben, the that you were a lot of people underwhelmed by it. Me personally, like, there's a bunch of stuff on this list I'm looking forward to playing. Like, before Smash, no big groundbreaking new announcements. Like, I think South Park coming out and Crash coming out are pretty big moves in the sense that more third-party support is good and is just going to mean that more stuff starts to come out closer and closer to, you know, the same day that it comes on other consoles if it's technically feasible for that to happen. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by this. I went in thinking all we're going to get is some more details of tennis. I'm happy with just that. And yeah, I ended up with a bunch of stuff on my list now for the next 6 months
that I
wasn't planning on before. So
I do think tennis looks good. And yeah, like those things that I'm concerned about apparently are just optional. So I want to play this tennis game. I want to play it a lot. Like that Wii Sports style tennis aspect to it is... Like, I'll just, I'll play it in the evening and while I'm exercising. Like, it'll just be a great, you know, thing to do after work. And Super Smash Bros. Is huge. So, overall, it was fascinating.
I couldn't believe that they got to the end of that and the 2018 came up.
Yeah.
That was, I really thought that was just going to have a TBA or 2019 or.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about Detective Pikachu.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't on the thing I was reading off. But, that's. Yeah, what do you want to say, Adam?
Oh, nothing really. He sounds gruff, and I think it's some sort of murder mystery game for the 3DS. And you know what? It genuinely made me laugh when he did that quick attack and ran out of breath.
I can't really tell what you're doing in that game though. Like,
neither
it just seems
I.
like all all cutscene is what they showed.
Yeah,
but
no idea.
But So yeah, what do you think, Adam?
I want to know what Detective Pikachu is. and like, maybe Smash Brothers. But other than that, honestly, a lot of stuff that there's plenty of options to get it all somewhere else. So, like, it's cool it's on the Switch, but nothing really jumped out at me.
Yep.
Splatoon 2, I didn't expect them to do more single player. That's cool.
Yeah, and the sushi game looks fun.
Sushi game looks fun.
Yep. All right, we better wrap it up there for this week.
Yeah, yeah. I thought we were going to have to pad this out with some questions and some scrambling for material, but that was...
That's for next week, my friend.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Kirby is out at the end of this week. A Way Out is out next week.
Yeah, I saw some more gameplay footage. It looks really cool.
I'm really looking forward to going through that.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Let us know your thoughts on the Nintendo Direct, on our socials and all that sort of stuff. If you haven't already, filthycasuals.com.au for all that information. We all have our shows at the Comedy Festival coming up, Chimp Cop, my stand-up show, and Adam's stand-up show. Come and check that. Come and check those out.
Yeah, comedyfestival.com.au for all of those.
Mm-hmm.
Let's, Noxy, plug our new podcast again because it's still very early. Arya Talking to Me, a Game of Thrones podcast. We're going episode by episode. It's a lighthearted, but still somehow quite in-depth review of every episode of Game of Thrones. It's been really fun so far, and people are clearly jumping across from Filthy to that. And
that show's good, and we're doing it in a way where if you're watching it for the first time, we won't spoil it for like the first part of the podcast.
Yep.
Then if you're rewatching the show, there's like some spoiler stuff at the end. So. Yep. It's the perfect podcast for everybody.
it really is. And thank you to people who have messaged us about that, messaged us about that and emailed and given some feedback and all positive. That's cool. And we'll be doing it for at least another like year and a month or so.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, fucking hell. We've also got a we've got a newish Bandcamp app up.
Yes.
About MS-DOS games. You can get that at I believe it's filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com.
I believe you are correct.
Mm. So check that out, and there's a big back catalogue of premium content up there.
Mm.
And the Patreon, which we send out bonus stuff to the people that are on that, and thank you to everyone who is. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
But yes, filthycasuals.com.au is the best place to go for all of this intel.
Mm.
Guys, thank you very much for listening, and as we say at the end here of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Oh, I'm here from the future. Where's Stephen Hawking's party? It's me, the guy he was waiting for. Jim, the one time traveler.
Bye, Adam.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.